Tennessee from a big idea. High over there, I'm high over here. Nothing to fear from a big idea.
Wake up, wake up, wake up, pussy, Illuminati's real. That's why ass so mushy, don't push me, cause I snap on a rap track and black outside of the box. You saying cheese in a rat trap, making maps, kicking facts, can't relax till I see that. You see that I'm ready to snap, can you be that? I'll be that, ready to rap, ready for war till you bitches wake up from your nap. Snitches getting rich, why you worry about that? So what's that? You can't say shit, and that's that. That's right, would it matter if you got a nice car? Drop top, show off your lobotomy skull.
High over there, I'm high over here. Nothing to fear from a big idea. High over there, I'm high over here. Nothing to fear from a big idea.
Which way they spraying us today? Can't look up, got bills to pay? Can't stop laughing at the shit you say. I see the snitch in you, comes out to play. Let's see, fluoride, aspartame, vaccines and more. Recession got you stressing, so forgot about the war. In Iraq, Afghanistan, hot damn, the man got a plan for your ass like you got the same tan. Get that scam, do you get that or get jacked damn? I better get that spam. Thought pop, cock, locked and loaded for bed. Right to bed, y'all fight like a grizzly bear.
High over there, I'm high over here. Nothing to fear from a big idea. High over there, I'm high over here. Nothing to fear from a big idea.
Wake up and look around at what's around you. Run that shit. Soon as you hit the ground, do you see that shit? How they fucking who around you and you doing what? Oops, looks like they found you, ground you. Deep in reality, we're keeping it real today. Means believing in the fantasy. Why the top got boys want us having fun so we can't do shit when the police come. Boss bitch needs a cut, getting too deep to run. Sleep and count sheep. Turning into bumps, put them on blast. A million ways to Sunday. Don't want dead cred one day. Finish this shit, talk shit on a fun day. God MC make the world. Thank God it's Monday.
High over there, I'm high over here. Nothing to fear from a big idea. High over there, I'm high over here. Nothing to fear from a big idea. High over there, I'm high over here. Nothing to fear from a big idea. High over there, I'm high over here. Nothing to fear from a big idea.
But you're acting like it's down now. You know you're acting like it's down now. You know, but you're acting like it's down now. You know you're acting like it's down now. I tell the club or folks, show. This flow is gonna bring more dough. You know, but you're acting like it's down now.
No, man, I say I'm running, cause I'm in control. Hitting out of Tennessee, a couple shots of Patron. I ain't you feeling high, I get your eyes a kite. Party poppin', shawty says she coming with me tonight. I ain't celebrating, I ain't snapping and popping either. I'm bobbing my head or I'm just standing there watching. I'm a hustler, I hustle, you can tell that I'm paid. And I protect what I got, I'm in the house with my blade. Nigga, you front, you gon' get it. Okay, now maybe I'm silly, cause I want you to trip. Yeah, I be on that shit. You should see when I'm stunting, I flash the stones to be rotten. Push the grips in me rolling, you can tell that I'm howling. I'm just doing my thing, you know the units, the gang. I got my crime, you shady with me. You front, you'll have to get me off your ass. I paid a lawsuit and laugh. It's not a big deal, it's nothing but some cash. Let's go.
You know you're acting like you're down now. I tell the club off.
And good morning, CKLN listeners. You know, but you're acting like you don't know. It is the 29th day of March, 2010. That's right, 10 years into the 21st century, and you are listening to CKLN's Rude Awakening. As your host, BK, a.k.a. Black Krishna, Mondays, Tuesdays, and Thursdays. I host the show from 6 a.m. to 7 a.m. You can catch us at CKLN 88.1 FM, CKLN.FM, online, or Rogers Cable Box 947. 7. You can also catch the show streaming at archive.org or radio4all.net. That's the radio number 4all.net. Or you can check out my blog at blackkrishna.blogspot.com for more links to fun stuff. And email me if you'd like at blackkrishna@gmail.com with any questions, answers, or suggestions, music you want me to play, clips, news tips, whatever you want. Because I got to say that that here on the show, I do encounter something rather interesting. There is the geopolitical strategizing that is so valued by so many in the anti-New World Order movement, the anti-globalization movement, updated for the post 9/11 21st century world, where we really question, you know, why we're moving towards a globalized era when the results seem to the results for the most people in the world seem to be getting worse. The dividends of choosing to move towards a globalized system under control of course the New World Order. So I do break this down in every show briefly. The New World Order is essentially hereditary moneyed families that got into central banking in the late 1600s with the Bank of England primarily, that birthed the modern banking system. Oh, there have been money scams for thousands of years, as best we can tell from history. But the modern iteration basically originates out of the cities of London, Washington, and New York. The Vatican, throw them in there. Maybe Beijing in Asia or Moscow, as those countries have always had a certain power in the New World Order structure. But the bottom line is that thanks to the execution of a plan by a handful of the Anglo-American establishment, that is the European nobility and their American offspring, they've basically convinced the entire world to go along with this one world system idea. There are secret societies like the Freemasons out there that help engender this. There are foundations that wealthy people donate their money to, which then fund activism. And then there's CI activism or faketivism, whatever you want to call it, that socially re-engineer society in ways that ultimately advance the hidden New World Order agenda. And so that's what I'm here to confront on Mondays, Tuesdays, and Thursdays, because it seems like the only thing worth doing. And quite frankly, there's been some sort of, I guess, intellectual New Age infiltration of the quote-unquote truth movement out there. And there are DVDs and books on that that go on about that. So, got to figure out the New Age. The New Age movement is basically repackaged Hinduism, saying keep it happy, never say anything negative, never think about anything negative. Even if someone's reaching into your wallet and taking out the cash, maybe it's not apropos to comment on that. If you take New Age thinking to its logical conclusion. And so what it does is it softens our minds, and it keeps our minds from being able to handle something as complex and difficult as the New World Order to understand. And that's insane. But that's just the way it goes. So the New Age movement, this neo-spirituality, these people, you know, getting in touch with the universe, you know, through meditation and yoga and all that sort of thing, and the general ideas that go along with that, keep it happy, always keep it positive, and so on, will eventually make it difficult for you to process, you know, difficult tasks or difficult ideas. So I'll give you an example. I've bounced solutions off people a number of times for a number of years, and typically this is what will happen. Someone will say, we're talking about the chemtrails, and it's like, oh, the chemtrails are so terrible. And I'll say, look, why don't you take pictures, you know, if 100 people in this city took pictures and video and popped it up on YouTube every time they sprayed, they just couldn't get away with it. That's not even that many people. If a few people do it, you know, it'll catch on. And then what I'll hear back is, oh, yeah, I've heard they're really bad for your health. And so our inability to get excited about ideas, about solutions, about the possibility of saving ourselves is part and parcel of what I talk about as the New Age softening of our minds when it comes to the New World Order socially and scientifically indoctrinating us into becoming unable to handle our own business, which includes their business, because they do run the world where we live. So fresh, so clean, on my way to Charlotte. I put on for my city, on for my city. I put on for my city, on for my city. Put on Eastside, put on Southside, put on Westside, put on. Let's go. We're back, CKLN listeners, after a little put on for your city moment from Mr. Young Jeezy and Mr. Kanye West. You know, music is really interesting when it comes to getting your weight up for these issues. All right, so we've been indoctrinated into being unable to handle these issues. We don't feel like talking about them. We know friends are right about them. People certainly know I'm right about them. So I have a very interesting barometer when it comes to the public's mood for being able to actually handle these issues here in Toronto and elsewhere. And, you know, not all is lost, you know, because we have a latent memory of, you know, what it's like to fight for our rights, to fight for something. Just 5 years ago, you know, you could talk about these issues, and people had more patience. But of course, that's being eroded by our habitual, reducing of our own attention spans through faster TV, video games, texting on Blackberries, and comments on YouTube videos and message boards, where people essentially just blurt out the same thing as part of the global standardization of our culture. You can check these out. I mean, just check out a YouTube video, check out the comments. You know, I'm on Hip Hop Canada yesterday, and I see a veteran, well-known rapper has recently recycled the Jay-Z versus Nas debate, who's the best. And it's almost like people are going for safe topics because they know that's what people will react to, and then people know that's what they're supposed to react to and how, and so on. And so, you know, these are patterns we've got to look for in our culture if we care. But how is this being done? How is this being done to us, if anything's being done to us? Well, I would posit one way is a way that has been suggested by New World Order researchers like Bertrand Russell, among others, back in the 1920s and 30s, where he, and it's been said for centuries, the New World Order could use sex to sell to us, to confuse to us. The Masonic compass and square and the G are also a symbol of generation and sex. And the New World Order, people who run the world, have parties very much out of Eyes Wide Shut. And if you haven't seen that movie, I'll explain it in a sec, but here's a skit in the beginning of a song from Eminem's new album, Relapse.
OnStar isn't working. I left my fucking phone at home. God, I've been standing out here for like an hour. Soaking wet, freezing. Thank you so much. Really, you're a lifesaver. What are you doing? What the fuck are you doing? Get away from me! The fucking asshole! Get away from me, you motherfucking get away! Get away, you fucking freak! Get away from me! God damn it, fuck!
Yeah, same song and dance. Damn girl, everywhere I go, same song and dance. I like the way you move all over the globe, same song and dance. Something about it, man, same song and dance. In the pale moonlight, I'm looking at you, yeah, girl. You're kind of taken back by the whole rapper thing, aren't you? Probably thinking you get slapped so dang hard, you won't even be able to stand up straight, aren't you? Couple rape charges, people think you're a monster. The police constantly bugging you nonstop. I walk up on you, well, hello, Tanya. I think you got your OnStar button inside your car stuff. You out to gas, do you got the flat? I would hate for you to be stranded at the laundromat. I got your back, why don't you put your laundry basket in the back and sit up front? You're not asking, it's a trap. You just got jacked and body snatched. And it's a rap in broad day, and no mask for this attack. I heard him say exact opposite the track. If that's a fact, it'll take task force to get you back. Yeah, baby, do that dance. It's the last dance you'll ever get the chance to do. Girl, shake that ass. You ain't never gonna break that glass. That windshield's too strong for you. I said, yeah, baby, sing that song. It's the last song you'll ever get the chance to sing. You sexy little thing, show me what you got. Give it your all. Look at your ball. Why you crying to me? Sing the song. The first victim I had, she was a big one, big movie star. A party girl, big fun. She was the girl the media always picked on. In and out of rehab every 4 to 6 months. She was always known.
And we're back, CKLN listeners. Again, this is the song, same song, same dance, from the Eminem album Relapse, which is a truly, truly brilliant album, masterfully engineered by rapper Eminem and producer Dr. Dre. But it is full of this type of incredibly well-constructed and musically orchestrated misogynistic horrorcore gibberish. And you have to wonder why. Not saying anything specifically about Eminem, although I do think it's certainly possible that he is part of the New World Order power structure in the sense of knowing what ideas to promote in our culture in order to get promoted by the power structure. So he could have made anything in the world, but he made a whole album full of this stuff and did it very well. But it's the type of thing which contributes to our dehumanization and sexual dehumanization and sexual dehumanization of each other. So going from a modern poet to an ancient one, go to the Daily Mail online. UK Daily Mail is a big paper out of England. Lord Byron and Shelley branded, quote, monsters of lying, meanness, cruelty, and treachery by ex-lover and newly discovered memoir from the 29th of March. Lord Byron and Percy Shelley were described as, quote, monsters of lying, meanness, cruelty, and treachery in a memoir by their ex-lover. Claire Claremont's memoir was discovered by a Cambridge graduate, Dr. Daisy Hay, as she researched her first book in the New York Public Library. It's an extraordinary discovery and excuses them of ruining lives, including her own. Ms. Claremont was a stepsister of Percy's wife, Mary Shelley, and is thought to have had a child with Percy Shelley, as well as being made pregnant and then dumped by Lord Byron. She wrote, under the influence of the doctrine and belief of free love, I saw the two first poets of England become monsters. And apparently later on in the article it says here Lord Byron actually took her child, their child, from her at birth and didn't allow her to see it, and then sent it to a convent where the kid died at age 5. And so, in an era of free love, which has been promoted for a couple of hundred years, and sexual perversity from the top down, here in the 21st century, we are seeing the apex of that as the New World Order goes for broke. On that note, I'd like to take it to a clip from the Michael Slate Show from the 24th of March, 2010, with Kristen DiGiorgio, an independent media researcher and writer, talking about rape on college campuses, because if there's anything this culture engages or engenders, it's the battle between the genders. And part of that is evidenced on how we treat serious crimes of sexual assaults in our institutions of higher learning.
And actually dealing with it in a real sense. And our guest for this is Kristen Lombardi. And Kristen is one of the lead authors of that report. And she's a longtime journalist. She has worked as a journalist for more than 12 years, and mainly at alternative news weeklies, and most recently at the Village Voice, where she provided groundbreaking coverage of the 9/11 health crisis. And she's also done a lot of work exploring issues like family courts, criminal justice, and child abuse.
And something that means that there will always be a warm spot in my heart for Kristen. When she wrote for The Phoenix in Boston, she did a lot of work exposing the clergy sexual abuse of children scandal in that city.
Kristen, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Michael, for having me.
You know, the report that you guys did was just an incredible, I mean, very powerful piece, and it really, it's kept me awake since I read it. I mean, it's really been something that you're really chewing on a lot, and I was thinking of a proper way to introduce the show this morning. That's why I came up with Excitable Boy, because it just, your report reeks of that kind of ethos being practiced all throughout the campuses. And I'd like you to explain to people first, what's the report about? What do you mean by the culture of indifference? And you can do it in broad terms to start in terms of what you found.
Okay, but maybe I should step back even a little further to let people know what we did. I mean, about a year ago, myself and my co-reporter, Kristen Jones, at the center, set out to examine how colleges and universities respond to sexual assault cases. And that was kind of the overarching question for our investigation. And over the course of the year, we interviewed 50 college officials who are familiar with the campus judicial process on schools across the country, on college campuses across the country. We interviewed 33 female students who reported to their school administrations being sexually assaulted or raped by fellow students. We surveyed 152 crisis service programs and clinics connected to colleges across the country. And we examined 10 years' worth of complaints and lawsuits filed against schools because of the way they responded to sexual assault complaints, as well as individual records in select cases that we looked at. So the point was to get beyond isolated cases on individual campuses, to connect the dots, to see larger commonalities and trends in the way schools respond to these complaints that might suggest systemic problems or failures. And I think what we found over the course of this year-long investigation has been pretty troubling. The latest series that we released is the series we dubbed A Culture of Indifference. And, I mean, we dubbed that for a reason, and we found that students who have been deemed responsible for sexual assaults on college campuses, which is the equivalent of guilty, right? The term responsible is the equivalent of guilty. It's an institution saying, we believe that these allegations are credible and that an assault did happen. Students who were deemed responsible for sexual assaults often face little or no punishment from school administration, while their victims' lives were frequently turned upside down. As part of our investigation, we reviewed a database of schools maintained by the U.S. Justice Department's Office on Violence Against Women, which is the only database we could find that really was a window into sexual assault proceedings and outcomes on college campuses. And we found that responsible findings rarely lead to tough punishment like expulsion. Our reporting and examination of case records revealed a similar pattern, even in cases involving alleged repeat offenders. So the difference comes in with leniency for students found responsible, as well as a kind of an indifference to the trauma of assault. I mean, the reason we found many student victims end up dropping out of school or transferring altogether is partly because of what they felt were slaps on the wrist for their perpetrators, but also that trauma was compounded by a lack of institutional support, lack of accommodation. Many of these students failed out of their classes and dropped out of school altogether because of the assault. I mean, we found the assault was pretty much something that they very rarely recovered from, and it permanently altered the trajectory of their education. So we looked, I mean, that's why we dubbed it kind of culture of indifference. That was with the college campuses, that was on the college campus level, but as also as part of the series we looked at the education department and its enforcement of Title IX. That's a federal law that's meant to protect student victims' right to an education without so-called hostile environment of sexual assaults or post-assault harassment. But our findings indicate that the Education Department's Office for Civil Rights rarely investigates student allegations of botched campus sexual assault proceedings and virtually never issues sanctions against institutions. And we reviewed 10 years' worth of completed Education Department investigations and found that the Office for Civil Rights findings of Title IX violations are the exception rather than the rule in cases alleging mishandling of sexual assault proceedings. So the institution, the federal watchdog, really doesn't seem to be aggressively enforcing Title IX, which is another layer of indifference that we looked at.
If you're just tuning in, you're listening to The Michael Slate Show, and I'm your host, Michael Slate. We're talking today with Kristen Lombardi, an investigative journalist with the Center for Public Integrity and the lead author of a new study from the center on sexual assault on college campuses and the culture of indifference that seems to be thriving in relation to these assaults.
Let me ask you this, Kristen. In the beginning, when you were talking about what you did you have any idea of the extent of sexual assault on college campuses when you went into this?
No. To put it simply, no. I actually came into this story idea as an investigative reporter who's often looked at sexual abuse and institutional indifference or resistance or cover-up to it, right? The clergy abuse scandal in Boston, I was one of the reporters that first exposed the Boston Archdiocese cover-up of a particular pedophile priest there, which really blew that scandal open in that city. And, you know, so I was familiar with the concept of sexual assault and institutional resistance to dealing with it. But I wasn't familiar with campus sexual assault at all. And one of the most surprising things to me when I started early on was this national study, which was funded by the Justice Department, that found that 1 in 5 college women will become the victim of a rape or an attempted rape by the time she graduates. That's a pretty staggering rate of victimization, and it's a Justice Department study that's actually been around for almost a decade. That statistic has never changed or hasn't changed. It's hardly changed at all if you talk to people who study campus sexual assault. And that was really surprising to me. That suggests an incredibly pervasive problem that's really, I think, largely underreported, and not just by victims, but underreported by the media. I mean, it's just not covered hardly at all.
got the magic kingdom. You can tug on my Giuseppes and my Badgley Mishkas. I'm a I'm a bag of fun. I'm a pro with them balls like Anna Juan. Now let's go. Mexico, that's where we next to go. Do him like his mama, mega made us vegetables. Could call me a stage mom, boy, you best to blow. Or you could even call me Wanda, cause I'm ready to go. You know I'm spoiled, little daddy. Stomp the floor. We could do it on Fifth Avenue department store. We could do it in Tokyo. We do it in Taiwan. Or my have a juku girl say I am the icon.
I wanna do you at your mama's house. On the couch. In the bathroom on an airplane.
And we're back, CKLN listeners. I apologize to Ms. Lombardo. Lombardi? Ms. Lombardi, Kristen Lombardi, from the Michael Slade Show. Not too familiar with the show, but did manage to stumble across that interview and definitely wanted to share it to you. There's a little clip. I'm going to play a couple more clips from that because, as she said, this is not reported much by the media. Why? Well, right now we're listening to the song Sex in Crazy Places by Gucci Mane featuring Bobby Valentino, Nicki Minaj, and Trina. And Nicki Minaj, I'm talking hip-hop, you know, folklore here, people that keep track of this, but hip-hop is, you know, 7 out of the 10, you know, 6 out of the 10 songs on the top 10. So it's certainly a driver of our culture, and it's a driver of the dehumanization of our culture. And while I'm a huge hip-hop fan, obviously, if you've ever listened to my show, you can tell that. I would like to posit that we can't allow ourselves to be to think this Sex in Crazy Places is the new romance. You know, it used to be, you know, you'd have to allude to things. I remember doing a public speech. I used to do public speaking and debating back at university myself. And I was given a topic and I talked about how, you know, let's go get an ice cream and, hey, I want to take you out. And how about two scoops? And then I want you to bring your friend. And it's kind of like a dirty off the cuff on the spot joke in front of a bunch of people in competition at a tournament. But it just struck my head as it came to my mind as how, you know, and I mentioned in the speech, things have changed. And now instead of saying, you know, your eyes suggest something only I need to know, you know, something like that. Now it's like, I want to have sex with you in the bathroom, on the hood of the car, on the golf course, while I'm watching TV, baby, you're the best. And a couple of rapper girls here, Nicki Minaj and Trina, are certainly doing very well in the New World Order controlled entertainment power structure by playing along with this and by going along with this type of culture. So do keep that in mind, that it's dangerous out there to just sort of go along to get along with what's being promoted by the corporations. It seems like all the people in the world, people running the world, really want us having lots of fun, really want us having lots of sex. We've got to ask why. As Bertrand Russell said back in the 20s, 30s, among other New World Order researchers, the more sexual partners a person has at a young age, the less likely they are to bond for life, to have a family, to have a man to defend them if they're a woman, or to have a family worth defending if you're a man. Then we're all isolated and atomized, and we're basically, you know, predatorily using each other. You know, it's like, I would like to hit that, or he could get some, or she could get some, or whatever. And the reason I bring this up is because so much of this is in our culture. Talk to a cabbie and say, hey, what are the people talking about? And say they're all talking about who's cute, who's in love, and so on. So back to the interview with Ms. Lombardi and Michael Slate.
Many victims don't report because they blame themselves, which I think is common to rape victims generally. But what I thought was really interesting about this particular age group, college women who say they were raped. We interviewed students who reported, and those were the 33 I mentioned. We interviewed more students, but some of them never reported, and some of them reported that they were abused by professors, actually, or staff members on campus, not other students. But what I thought was really interesting about all of those students, which was about 50 altogether, is that many of them didn't identify what happened to them as sexual assault for a very, very long time. And I think that's because campus sexual assault is not your stereotypical stranger rape. It often involves people who know each other. At least, you know, they know each other in some way. They attend classes together. They live in the dorms together. you know, they may run in the same social circle of friends. You know, their fraternity and their sorority may, you know, be sister organizations, so to speak. They may be athletes together. You know, they know their alleged perpetrators. And so for a lot of them, they didn't recognize what happened to them as a sexual assault.
But today, think about it. Today, for a young woman, it's go to college, have your head full of dreams, ambition, hopes, go to college, get an education. Maybe, maybe not, but definitely go to college and you got a real good chance of getting raped and nobody will do anything about it.
One of the things that comes through in your report, and it's really, it's just, again, it's just a horror. I keep saying horror because I feel so inadequate in trying to find the word to describe it. You know, there's this dehumanization of women in regard to sexual assault and rape. It's just, everything is part and parcel of robbing the humanity from women. And one of the things that really struck me was the blatant and terrible disregard for the victims that gets expressed in all of this. I mean, there's a couple of things there where you talk. I mean, for one thing, just think about it. You can be expelled from college for plagiarizing a paper, for Christ's sake. I mean, it's a paper. You know, you can be expelled. But people rarely get expelled for sexual assault and rape. Yeah, you know, you think about that, and then you think about the idea that some of the things that we report in your study about people, these campuses actually proposing mediation as a way of dealing with sexual assault and rape, or treating it as, let's treat this as a teachable moment. That just blew my mind. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Well, there are two things, and I'll deal first with the issue of seemingly light punishment, because I think it speaks more to this lack of appreciating the trauma of sexual assault and the devastation. You know, the database that I mentioned is maintained by the U.S. Justice Department's Office on Violence Against Women. That office gives campus grants to help colleges and universities improve their response to an adjudication of sexual assault, among other forms of sexual violence, like stalking, for instance, or domestic violence. And like I said, it was the only database we could find on sexual assault proceedings at institutions of higher education nationwide. You know, we wanted to see what happens with the adjudicatory process. And that database includes information on about 130 colleges and universities who received money, federal funding, from the Office on Violence Against Women to improve their response to campus sexual assault from 2003 to 2008. And so these are schools that take the issue seriously. I mean, they're in order to get a grant, you have to prove that there's a problem on your campus that you want to take proactive steps to combat. And yet these schools expelled students only 10 to 25% of the time. Students found responsible for sexual assault only 10 to 25% of the time. So if you flip that around, it's 75 to 90% of the time they meted out more modest penalties, the data showed, such as reprimands, counseling, suspensions, community service, and this whole other category that administrators in interviews we did told us would be educational penalties. They called them educational penalties, like required alcohol treatment or meeting with the campus health educator to learn about what constitutes sexual consent. In the individual cases where we looked at, you know, records of judicial proceedings, we found penalties like orders to write a letter of apology or to write a research paper on sexual violence or to participate in a campus, you know, sexual assault prevention program. Penalties that are educational in nature, which many college administrators will tell you is in keeping with the mission of higher education and the student conduct system generally. And, you know, I think expulsion is so rare because it's so anathema to this educational philosophy among student affairs administrators. You know, they see sexual assault proceedings, sexual assault cases in the broader context of student conduct. You know, which would include the plagiarism case or the cheating case or the vandalism case. It's almost offensive when you think about the fact that this is, in the real world, a crime. You know, we found that in a case where a student was found responsible, not just of, you know, sexual assault, which could be inappropriate sexual touching, for instance, but in a case that involved rape allegations. Now, one former university counsel that I spoke with who consults colleges and universities on their sexual assault policies, said to me, if you want to know why administrators, college administrators, are so reluctant to expel in these cases, it's because for an educator, expulsion is often seen as a failure on their part to do their job. They wouldn't be doing their job if they expelled a student. And then another student affairs administrator told me that, you know, to college officials, expulsion is like the death penalty in the criminal justice system, meaning it's reserved for the worst of the worst. But a lot of the student victims that we talk to really believe that, you know, rape is the worst of the worst. The vast majority of those 33 female students who reported sexual assault reported rape. You know, they were reported being raped by fellow students. And, you know, to them, that is the worst of the worst.
Again, I was reading the statistics and shocked. As much as I think that I know this, you know, the fact that 13 times as many rape survivors are more likely to attempt suicide than are people who are not victims of crime. And rape survivors are 6 times more likely to attempt suicide than are victims of other crimes. It tells you something about the to-the-bone nature of this inhuman act. You know, to me, it's inexcusable what's going on here.
You know, one of the things that struck me the most, college administrators told me that they will kick out someone who's perceived to be a threat to other students on campus. You know, if a student is found responsible for sexual assault, and if that student is perceived to be a threat, not just to the student that he assaulted, and I say he because it's overwhelmingly male and female, but to other female students. In other words, if they think that he's a sexual predator, they'll expel him. But when you talk to administrators, they'll also say that the typical campus sexual assault involves an incident of miscommunication among two drunk students, and the culpable student oftentimes didn't realize or didn't understand that he didn't have consent, and or he didn't realize what constituted assault. Like, he didn't understand that he had committed rape, and he feels bad about it, and so there's your teachable moment. But this attitude really seems to overlook some pretty chilling research that we, you know, came across through our reporting on who actually commits sexual assault on college campuses. That research was conducted by David Lissack, who is a psychology professor at the University of Massachusetts Boston, and he interviewed 2,000 college men and asked them about different acts that would constitute the legal definition of rape or attempted rape. And, you know, a huge number of college men actually admitted to engaging in this kind of activity. And over half of the college students that admitted that, you know, they were student rapists, essentially, were repeat offenders who raped an average of 6 times. And to me, that's like really, really shocking. Mm. You know, a significant number of campus sexual assault can be attributed to repeat offenders. But if the attitude among administrators is these are typically miscommunication, then they're not going to look for signs of predatory behavior.
Okay, you're right. Okay, you're right. We just gotta get money. We just gotta act funny. Okay, you're right. Okay, you're right. We just gotta get money. We just gotta act funny. Mr. Soul Crusher, slow gon' touch and see red when you see fed buses. Don't trust them. Scared being fed by vultures. Picking at your brain till you're twittin' about your pain and mold sculptures. 2012 coming, we were warned, stop threatening, you were bold, stop wondering if you can stop blubbering. Hating on waiting, babysitting, debating ways of quitting, relating ways of spitting, to leaving Satan, getting hating, complaining about the way we explaining, complaining away, knowing in their right mind, sitting comfortably today.
It's up to me to say, you can knock it or not. They tie your knot up in knots, so robots can't spot a way to get the drop on the top and the drop top. While they lurk in the shadows and can't stop till we pop the lock. I'm moving from learning to thinking fast and then I'm blinking. I weaken, I'll go back to sleeping, kind of the sheep. Still blinking to really thinking and switching next to being bewitched by every gadget you switched on and off into submission. Domesticated slaves get violated, early raised. Can't stand up, got one foot in anyway. So, okay, you're right. Okay, you're right. We just gotta get money. We just gotta act funny. Okay, you're right. Okay, you're right. We just gotta get money.
Now you are responsible in bringing reggae out into this world. As far as you're concerned, really, what is reggae?
Reggae is a vehicle, that's used to transmit a message of redemption to the people on earth today. We use it for that. You have a nice one and use it for us dance, you know? But we use it for convey the message. Because I don't see no other music can carry the message as good as it. It's like a heavy duty machine, you know?
Yes. And we're back, CKLN listeners. Again, that was Kristen Lombardi on the Michael Slate Show from the 24th of March, 2010, talking about an epidemic of rape on college campuses. And yes, this is a tragic, tragic part of our culture. I talked to Keith Harmon Snow from allthingspass.com. Keith Harmon Snow, excellent reporter. If you want to know what's going on in Africa, it's not pretty, folks, but it's the type of thing which, if we learn about, can certainly moderate our feelings about a number of things, including the actions of our leaders that we appear to have too much faith in too many times. But I'm talking to Keith Harmon Snow, interviewing him here for my CKLN Rude Awakening show when I co-hosted with Mark Bills from the summer of 06 to the summer of 08. And then I've recently been back on the air for probably about 5 months now or so, 5-6 months. And the bottom line is that I'm talking to Keith Harmon Snow, and he's talking about all these stories about rape in Africa and crazy rape in Africa. And I talked to a couple of people about this independently to sort of confirm this mindset is not what it seems. Africa is mostly a Christian or Muslim continent, and their sexual habits and practices are far more conservative than ours are. Does it occur? Yes. Are there, you know, people there? Yes. Have they been colonized and dehumanized by the New World Order into acting against their natural human instincts? Yes, but so have we. And Keith Harmon Snow brought up the point that, you know, we don't talk about rape here. You know, the stats are one in every four women, one in every five women will be a victim of a sexual assault in her lifetime. That's, I mean, that's insane. That's insane. That's, you know, 7 million women in Canada or whatever. No, let's see. Percentage of, say, 15 million women. And so, you know, say a quarter of them, that's 3-4 million women. And that's part of a culture that we're not really trying to address very seriously. And I'll tell you what I mean. I mean, there are people that make noise about these sorts of things, but these days we've been socialized to think that if you question, you know, sexual innovations, as it were, and freedoms, then you're a prude. And yet, I'll hearken back to this article from the UK Daily Mail from the 29th of March, 2010, where Ms. Claire Claremont, one of the lovers of two of the prominent poets, Lord Byron and Percy Bysshe Shelley at the time, said, quote, under the influence of the doctrine and belief of free love, I saw the two first poets of England become monsters. And that's essentially what it is. I mean, this free love society, it sounds fun, but ultimately it's meant to habitualize you into becoming a sociopath, a psychopath, much like the people at the top. People at the top are into even crazier stuff than we are. If you see the movie Eyes Wide Shut by filmmaker Stanley Kubrick, rumors are that making that film is what got him potentially killed if he didn't die of natural causes. And so look into that a bit more. Eyes Wide Shut. It's with Tom Cruise and Nicole Kidman. And there are certain ceremonies portrayed in that movie which are not far from the truth as best we can discern it with respect to the sexual practices of the elite. And so when you go on, say, Queen Street, which I happen to frequent on a regular basis here in downtown Toronto, and you see all the posters for all the nights out there and the fun party club nights out there, and a lot of them are featuring naked women these days. A lot of them are featuring sex and violence combo themes, dominatrix stuff and so on. And this is on the street, and there are families walking by on Queen Street, and I gotta say, there are people out there that know better than to allow this type of nonsense to happen in their culture. There are people that know better than this, and so we've got to we've got to figure out what's going on here. If there are people that know better, why aren't they saying anything? And I'm at the Scarborough Town Center on Thursday, last Thursday. Had occasion to be back in my beloved Scarlet World. Holla at you, boy. And shout out to Camouflage, a.k.a. Genghis Khan, too. He's a Scarborough rapper, hearing some of his stuff recently. Good stuff. That guy's got a great voice. He can rap his butt off. Pretty complex but simple street stuff, street tales. So definitely good street rapper, although I do think that we got to move beyond this in general in the hip-hop world, because a lot of people do make the same album, X amount of songs, mostly thuggin'. There's one for the ladies, one for the club, and we'll call it a rap. Not saying that Camouflage does this, but in general, the culture is encouraging that. And that type of standardization, and how you talk about people. So I'm back in Scarborough, and I'm at the Scarborough Town Center, and they're remodeling the whole mall. And I'm looking at the giant, Babylonian, semi-pornographic pictures up around me everywhere. And I got no issues with this. If you're going to put a picture of a 12-foot, half-naked, hot woman in front of me, I'm gonna stare at her hot 12-foot tall ass. But the point is, what are you people doing to us? And what are you people doing to us by putting that up everywhere? If an adult wants to look at pictures like that on their own time, that's fine. If you want to make them part of your ad campaign, that's fine. As a company, in my opinion. But just extrapolating, there are young people there that are growing up to worship these images. When I say Babylonian, I mean, much like modern dictators like Mao Zedong, Saddam Hussein, and others these guys will put up giant pictures of themselves to make the people feel small. And when you see our culture, it's giant pictures of incredibly beautiful people to make us feel small and inadequate, and pumping out our cash at the mall. This all goes back to this whole story is about our socialization into a culture that accepts that rape is fairly common on college campuses, where our media doesn't talk about it much, our campuses don't do that much about it, and women are encouraged to, women are basically told how difficult it is to go through all this if you do want to press charges. I do have a friend who was raped. I know a couple of girls who were, actually. And the bottom line is that one of them didn't report. And this guy was serially sociopathic. Good-looking dude. And he basically told her, I knew all the right things to say to you. I know all the right things to say to you. I could do this to anybody because I know exactly what you want to hear. And that always struck with me with respect to her experience. And I couldn't knock her too much. Is it too bad she didn't report him? Yes. But our culture isn't exactly forgiving of people that do report instances like that. So, we got to keep that in mind before we judge people. Let's judge the culture. Let's take on the New World Order. I mean, my attitude about this is, let's get this done. I played the first track today, and I apologize for the two tracks I've played here because they're both the Disableton bootleg No Mix Classic version. All my recording equipment is fritzing like Spring Meyer right now. I blame Sir Evelyn de Rothschild. Go see his work at Rothschild.org. They've been an integral orchestrator of the financial markets for over 200 years. Why? Because it's fun to blame them, and they deserve some blame for something. And this week, though, I will get that solved with my P4 solution. So I will be able to bring in some music that's actually mixed down and not just the acapellas over beats. But you get the idea. first track I played today was A Big Idea, Nothing to Fear from A Big Idea. And that basically both means it is a big idea, a new world order. To quote George Bush Sr. from 1990 to 91 when he referenced the term, Bill Clinton said it, British PM Gordon Brown said it, Henry Kissinger said it, tons of people said it, it's over. Watch the new Jason Burmes film, Invisible Empire, coming out in the next couple of weeks for a bit more on that, where he basically just shows you the video clips of them saying it, and so on. But okay, back to this, this New World Order question. A big idea. The big idea is the New World Order, and the big idea is beating the New World Order. Actually getting rid of this. I mean, I don't want dead cred one day, finish this ish talk ish on a fun day. God MC make the world. Thank God it's Monday. And here on Monday, March 29th, 2010, a little time place set for you. We are roughly 1.5 years from world government. So if you start to notice the effects of the global standardization New World Order project, do not be surprised. They are all around us, and one of them is the hypersexualization of our culture, the New Age free love, which is why I'm taking a little poke at it here this morning. Quick shot to thepinkcross.org, thepinkcross.org, work of Shelley Lubin, former porn star, turned anti-porn Christian activist. And she's not a New Age Christian. She's not just like, oh, I got this straight. Me and Jesus, we cool. I'm out. Whatever. She's actually an active Christian who's using her faith to give her the strength and discipline to take on the system on behalf of her fellow men and women. And it says here, advisory panel would consider regulation of California's porn industry. And so she's pushing for these. Guy Prescott, Director of Safety for Operating Engineers Union Local 3 and one of 6 members of the California Division of Occupational Safety and Health Standards Board, said he planned to vote against the measure but changed his mind after hearing from performers and others in the porn industry. So, you know, whatever your preconceived notions of whatever are, it can't hurt to hear a bit more about it. And on that point, let's take a close look at the New World Order for a second. Their main instrument of control is the United Nations, including UNESCO, affecting our education and cultural organizations, pushing sex ed in schools. Let's ask Mr. Michael Shaw from freedomadvocates.org, freedomadvocates.org, a bit about the United Nations.
Now, one has to ask, well, who's the man behind the black curtain? Who's making those rules for the United Nations? I want to know who that is. You see, that's the big difference between the United Nations Declaration of Human Rights. Human beings, according to the Declaration of Human Rights, are like animals. They have rights, but we'll decide what they are, and they might change from time to time and from group to group. You see, there's nothing immutable about rights under the UN philosophy. That's when human beings are turned to chattel. They can be culled and directed in any way mandated. Individualism is lost. And that's the purpose of the globalist movement, is to herd the people as though they were chattel. Now, the Declaration of Independence, on the other hand, says that government exists, in effect, to exercise those powers granted to them by the people. But in no effect can the powers that take unalienable rights be granted to government, period. That's the purpose, that's the magic of the American experience, is that we have a nation founded on the notion that our rights are unalienable and that are granted by our Creator.
It's just me against the world. And we're back, CKLN listeners. That was Michael Shaw from freedomadvocates.org talking about the United Nations. And yes, as part of their plan to take away our individuality and individual rights, they are distracting and confusing the hell out of us and getting us to fight with each other. So on behalf of male-female relations out there, do look into these issues a bit more. I recommend... thepinkcross.org to wean yourself off your addiction to porn. And check out some testimonials from some former porn stars in the industry to break that down a bit more for you. Henry Macau, Henry H-E-N-R-Y-M-A-K-O-W, has some excellent articles on the use of corrupted strains of feminism to basically push this agenda, the free love agenda, and to encourage women to do things that were probably against their best wishes and best interests. You know, we all don't have to be conservative. We all don't have to be liberal, but we all shouldn't be told what to do, I think, is the key point. And when you have a New World Order system run by a giant, you know, central banking, ancient family, Masonic secret society, Vatican, Jesuit, U.S. military, Tavistock, psychological, industrial, pharmaceutical complex system, that's got one agenda, then unless you understand that agenda, you can't really help the people you're trying to help. You know, putting people's problems in the context of the larger New World Order big picture will certainly make them feel like they're not alone. It's not you who's messed up by this. It's not you who took a wrong turn in Sanityville. It's actually the system that's designed to drive us crazy. And there is a giant new mental health institution and a new condo going up beside it at Queen and Ossington, the expansion of CAMH. Let's look into that. Look at the work of Kevin Miller. Generation RX is a great film about the drugging of our children. Or heck, just ask some people who work around CAMH in the local establishments there what the mood of the CAMH clientele is. Basically, you go in there, you're diagnosed with something, you're prescribed something. They got a diagnosis, they got a pill. And if that doesn't work, well, hey, that's the best they can do. That's just how they roll. And that's not good enough. That's not good enough. You can't put a giant insane asylum up in the middle of the city and have none of us notice. Our heads here in TDOT are not that far up our butts. We can figure this out, and we figure out how to cut that project out, or at least figure out what's going on there. So a bunch of groups was out with my colleagues briefly this weekend at TorontoTruthSeekers.com. Definitely check them out. Up to 320 members with a G20 coming up in June in less than 3 months. It only stands to reason that groups like Toronto Truth Seekers and others will be, you know, getting the fires burning to protest the people pimping the world into the ground. But you know, beyond that, one thing I'd like to mention is United We Fall from PressForTruth.ca. Got to check out this trailer. Got to check out the new music for that. A film about the North American Union. As part of the standardization of our culture, we're losing our sovereignty here in Canada. So definitely pay attention to that. Saw the Big Freeze cover on the Star yesterday. And I'm seeing here inside in the cover of today's, inside today's Metro on page 3, Premier casts wider net. McGuinty looking to police firefighters to freeze wages. And province tweaking welfare rules. So tons and tons of budget cuts as the people in charge of the world go for broke. As Mr. Alan Watt from CuttingThroughTheMatrix.com, definitely recommend that site, downloading Mr. Watt's work. As Mr. Alan Watt has said, they are scientifically designing a way to make us happy and poor, or poor, as he says it in his Scottish accent. They want to make us happy and poor. And to do that, they are giving us this free love culture. But it is, again, very dangerous, as we heard from Ms. Kristen Lombardi on The Michael Slate Show today in the clips that were played. Music is a huge part of how we can get ourselves out of this, though. I sometimes wonder why people take a long time to listen to music. Don't bother. Why I don't necessarily feel like it, even though it doesn't physically take that much time. Like, I'll sleep on, listen to somebody's song, someone won't listen to mine for a while, and so on. But one of the reasons is the incredible emotional impact we know music has on us. So, you know, bear that in mind out there. If you're looking to get your weight up, if you're going to get your energy up, don't just take what we're fed by our mainstream culture and by our pop music culture, because it's dangerous. It's really dangerous out there to let your head get messed up by that sort of thing. Here in the 21st century, on March 29, 2010, an overview of our hypersexualization, some basic reasons for it, some research. Hope that'll do. Check out Infowars.com for general news updates. Tons of crazy stuff going on there. I'll go through more of that tomorrow. Having the show 3 days a week makes you want to experiment with themes like this. Hope you don't mind. But Infowars.com, naturalnews.com, trendsresearch.com, cuttingthroughthematrix.com, thepinkcross.org. TorontoTrueSeekers.com, PressForTruth.ca, ConspiracyCulture.com. Definitely Toronto Street News out there. Give a homeless guy a toonie. Get this type of info. Share this type of info. Fighting the New World Order and sharing info about the New World Order is one way to humanize us in a culture where we're being dehumanized. Why? Because it's not just you going for yours. It's you saying to someone, look, there are things that you need to know to put your problems in context and to solve them and to solve someone else's. And if we have that attitude, we'll get along just fine and we will have fun as we take you out with chaos. But actually, I'm going to leave you with a little Tupac. Keep your head up, ladies, because he was one of the best at doing this and one of the best at feeling what you were going through. So it's important to remember that artists can do that and can help us do that, too.
Something for my godson Elijah and a little girl named Corinne.
Some say the blacker the better, the sweeter the juice. I say the darker the flesh and the deeper the roots. I give a holler to my sister's own welfare. Tupac kids, if don't nobody else care. And I know they like to beat you down a lot. When you come around the block, brothers clown a lot. Please don't cry, dry your eyes, never let up. Forgive but don't forget, girl, keep your head up. And when he tells you you ain't nothing, don't believe him. And if you can't learn to love, you should leave him. Cause sister, you don't need him. And I ain't trying to catch up, I just call him how I see. You know what makes me unhappy? That when brothers make babies and leave a young mother to be a patch. And since we all came from a woman, got our name from a woman, and I came from a woman. I wonder why we take from our women, why we rape our women, do we hate our women? I think it's time to kill for our women, time to heal our women, be real to our women. And if we don't, we'll have a race of babies that will hate the ladies that make the babies. And since a man can't make one, he has no right to tell a woman when and where to create one. So will the real men get up? I know you're fed up, ladies, but keep your head up.
Things are gonna get easier.
Hey, yo, I remember Marvin Gaye used to sing to me. He had me feeling like black was the thing to be. And suddenly the kettle didn't seem so tough. And though we had it rough, we always had enough. I huffed and puffed about my curfew and broke the rules. Ran with the local crew and had a smoke or two. I realized mama really paid the price. She nearly gave her life to raise me right. And all I had to give her was my pipe dream of how I'm off the mic and make it to the right screen. I'm trying to make a dollar out of 15 cents. It's hard to be legit and still pay your rent. And in the end, it seems I'm heading for the pen. I try to find my friends, but they're blowing in the wind. Last night, my buddy lost his whole family. It's gonna take the man and me to conquer this insanity. It seems the rain will never let up. I try to keep my head up and still keep from getting wetter. You know it's funny when it rains, it pours. They got money for wars, but can't feed the poor. Said it ain't no hope for the youth, and the truth is it ain't no hope for the future. And then they wonder why we crazy. I blame my mother for turning my brother into a crack baby. We ain't meant to survive cause it's a setup. And even though you're fed up, you yeah. Got to be your
head up.
Babies on their own. I know it's kind of rough and you're feeling all alone. Daddy's long gone and he left you by your lonesome. Thanks the Lord for my kids, even if nobody else wants them. Cause I think we can make it, in fact, I'm sure. And if you fall, stand tall or come back for more. Cause ain't nothing worse than when your son wants to know why his daddy don't love him no more. You can't complain, you was dealt this hell of a hand without a man feeling helpless. Because there's too many things for you to deal with. Dying inside, but outside you're looking fierce. While the tears is rolling down your cheek, is daddy hoping things don't all fall this week? Cause if it did, you couldn't take it. And don't blame me, I was given this world, I didn't make it. And now my son's getting older and older and cold from having the world on his shoulders. While the rich kids are driving bins, I'm still trying to hold.
he'll never let up. Please, you got to keep your head up.